Good morning and welcome to this little service for Denton Church. I'm really glad you could join us here today on the 29th of March 2020. And I want us to begin just by saying a confession together, as we normally do. So let's say these words of confessing our sins to the Lord God right now. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read now from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 6. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, we would never have thought that our whole nation would be in lockdown by now. We're not allowed to go outside except to do a bit of exercise, to go to essential work or to buy supplies. Life is completely different, isn't it? It's completely, completely different from what it was before. And for you, you might have children at home the whole time now. You might be studying for exams that you don't even know whether you're going to be able to take. You might be really worried about your job or your income or your finances or your business or your future. You might be really scared that you might catch coronavirus and that this might be the end for you. Our lives are completely different, completely changed from what they were just 2 weeks ago. And we don't know what's going to happen next. And it makes us realise, doesn't it, that we are very, very fragile. It's like our lives, our society, our whole existence is built on a pillar of glass. And suddenly, with this coronavirus outbreak, the glass has shattered. The foundation has shattered. We didn't realise how fragile we were. But now our fragility is exposed. And so, how do we respond in the middle of that? Well, it's good to begin with recognizing our fragility and weakness as human beings and as created people and as a society as well. The Bible in Isaiah 40, verse 6 says, "All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." We are like grass, which grows and withers. It flowers and flourishes, and then it falls. And this pandemic has brought that home to us, hasn't it, in a very real way. We spend a lot of time all throughout our lives ignoring and distracting ourselves from the fact that one day we are going to die. But it's true, one day every single one of us is going to die. We like to think as well, and we distract ourselves, we like to think that we are able to solve all of our problems, whether it's through technology or through political endeavour or just through me working really hard or living my dreams. But we're not able. Our society can't cope with this illness. No matter how hard we work or how much we dream or how many resources we normally have, we're all stuck in our homes, swept along by events outside of our control. We've discovered, haven't we, that we are weak and fragile and frail, and we are at risk at any moment of losing our income and our resources, our relationships, and even our very lives. But actually, the Bible has said this is what we are all the time. The Bible always said this. We are created, and God is our creator. We are finite, and actually we are fallen. We have rejected our Creator God, and we are destined to die because we are grass. We are like grass. And so it's good to accept that fact at the moment. It's brought home to us, and it's good to accept it. But Isaiah doesn't just leave us there. He says, surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. God is not like grass. God is the creator of everything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is entirely strong. He is mighty. He is able to do anything he chooses. He is the everlasting God who is unchanging from before the beginning of time and unaffected by any crisis that may come along. His word, as it says in Isaiah, endures forever. Anything, that means anything God has said will come true. Anything he has said, he will bring it about. He cannot break his promises and he cannot fail to keep them. And more than that, in Jesus, God Almighty made himself weak and frail and fragile and dependent and able to die. When Jesus was born and lived and died, God was made weak like us. He died on the cross so that our rejection of God could be forgiven. He rose again from the dead to free us from the fear and the curse of sin and death and to give us eternal life. And so when we put our trust in Jesus, we are joined to him through faith in Jesus. We have died with him, we have been raised with him, and now we are enthroned with him at the right hand of God. That's the reality, and actually that's our second reading. That's what it says. Now, Katie and I watched a film recently called Jungle, and in it a couple of very foolish adventurers go adventuring and exploring in the Bolivian jungle, and at one stage they're floating on a raft down the river in the jungle, and suddenly, without warning, they're swept into a deadly gorge full of rapids and waterfalls and all sorts of dangers. And the next minute, they are pressed up against a rock and their raft is breaking up, and they're just pressed up against this rock right in the middle of the incredibly strong current. And for them, their only hope at that moment is to cling on to the rock. Cling on to the rock, because the rock's not going anywhere. And at the moment, it probably feels to you, and it certainly does to me, like we're in the rapids. We're being swept along and swirled about into unknown waters. And we don't know whether we'll come out of at the end unscathed or not. But this week, these words from Paul's letter, the second reading from Colossians chapter 3, have really helped me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Cling to the rock that is Jesus. The rock will not move or change or fail. Set your heart and your mind on Jesus, on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, not on earthly things. So, what does that actually mean for us now? It means pin your hopes on Jesus. Almost anything could change for you in one day, every day. But Jesus will not change or fail or let you down. Anyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Nothing can stop that from coming true. Pin your hopes on Jesus. And it also means see everything with the eyes of faith. Know that God is in control. God is good. The gospel of Jesus is still the same. It hasn't changed in the last 2 weeks. He came and died for sinners. And he calls us to repent and trust in him. And these things are the same today, just as they were 2 weeks ago. Whether or not we're locked down, whether or not we're sick, and whether or not we're in trouble. These things are the same. And if I didn't know that for myself, if I didn't have that confidence that the gospel is the same and God is the same, I think I'd be going crazy right now because everything else is changing. So just a couple of practical things for this week. I think it's good to limit the amount of news that we watch. There are some things that we need to know, and it's good to know those things, but there's a lot that is just anxiety-making and worrying. So I'd say limit the amount of news you watch. And once you know what's what, stop checking again and again. Second thing, listen to God's promises. They're like the rock that we can cling to. Pin your hopes on them. On Jesus, and let them be the lens through which you see the world. So let me just finish by reading those words from Colossians again, and they contain several promises which we can cling to in these weeks. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. I'm just going to lead us in some prayers now. Dear Father, we want to thank you that you do not change. We can trust you and rely on you and know that you will never let us down or fail us. Thank you for your amazing promises, for true and full forgiveness of our sins, complete acceptance by you as your beloved children, eternal life with you in your new creation. And Father, it all comes through your Son Jesus' willingness to give himself up for us in dying on the cross. Thank you that he doesn't self-isolate, but he came to us in our sin and failure, and by his self-sacrifice made us pure and whole and healed. Please, Father, help us to set our hearts and minds on the things above, where Christ is. Help us not to be anxious, but to trust in you. Help us also to be a light to this anxious and darkened world. And please, Father, make us able to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus to anyone who asks us. Father, please, would you be with our leaders? Please be with the Queen. Please be with Boris Johnson and all those who are in leadership. Please, would you give them heavenly wisdom to govern this country in this crisis in the best way? Please, in your mercy, would you stop this pandemic and protect the most vulnerable among us? And Father, at the same time, would you wake us up as a country and as a world to our need for you, to our rebellion against you, and to our need for a Saviour who is Jesus. Please help us as a world, as a country, as individuals to repent and believe in him. And finally, Father, please be with those of us who are in particular need at the moment. We pray, Father, for the family and friends of Valerie Ellis, who died this last week. Please be with Michelle and her family as well, and Jenny Smith and her family. Please comfort and protect and assure them of your love. Please comfort, protect and assure all who are worried or frightened of illness or financial difficulty in this crisis of your love as well. Please be a comfort to each one of these people. Lift their eyes to you, the great Lord who loves us more than we can imagine. And we pray all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we finish, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.